is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 23. You'll find this on page 192 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. About the spiritual blessings and the life everlasting that is ours in Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. God, give us clarity, give us hope, give us confidence as we read this word, and let your Spirit nourish us and minister to us, that we might be a blessing to those around us in Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us read together Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 23. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches in his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Hear now this word from Revelation chapter 7. One of our traditional readings for this All Saints Day. John has a vision of the heavenly host and the scroll and the lamb and the seals and the unveiling of God's kingdom there in heaven. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The word of the Lord. On All Saints, we remember not only the saints of old, we remember all those saints who have died in the last year since All Saints Day. And we remember God's promises about them and for us of what awaits us who put our faith and love in Jesus Christ. To those who grieve, this can be an emotional day just by the very act of remembering those that we've lost. And yet for those who have grieved for years, this can be a helpful day, a time to remember and to recall again the name of those we've lost and to keep them alive in our memories against the fear that they're fading in our memories. We can't remember their faces clearly sometimes. We miss hearing their voice. We miss touching them and having them touch us. But remembering them, talking about them, saying their names again, keeps them a bit more present to us. Like watching home movies and listening to recordings and thumbing through a photo album to see the pictures again and listening to the recordings of their voices, it brings back memories and impressions. It just keeps them close. And that's good and that's healthy. Most of our memories of a dear departed ones are happy memories, and our sadness often begins to fade a bit, but we still miss them. So we love to sing this opening hymn before all the saints who from their labors rest. The organ fanfares are great, the handbells are playing, the words, the music, the tune, it's all majestic, and we sing it with gusto. It's an upbeat, triumphal kind of hymn. And the words and the music celebrate Jesus' victory over death. And it unites us with all of those saints through all the ages who have come before us, singing together our faith in God and our salvation in Jesus Christ, our faith in the kingdom that awaits us when we die, and when God's final judgment day brings eternal joy to those who are in his kingdom. We sing of the heavenly reunion with those who have died and gone before us and who await us. And also we sing of our reunion with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who secured that divine inheritance that was promised to us and sealed for us in the Holy Spirit, the Scripture says. Our second hymn, I sing a song of the saints of God. It's a lively, upbeat kind of hymn. It celebrates faithful folks in our lives as well as people all around us who continue to inspire us. And we sing, saints of God are just like folks like me, and I mean to be one too. As a recommitment to God and our courage to live the obedient life, to live a saintly life, inspired by those who have lived and died and whose inspiration continues with us. So on this day, we think about death and life and heavenly kingdom. I've realized in 40 years of ministry, people seem to ask those same basic questions over and over. So I had a hallway conversation with several of you. They said, three questions about God, and you were trying to guess what the questions were. And one of you said, I don't know what your questions are, but I know when we get to heaven, the first thing you're going to see is a giant table with all the things that we have lost. And I'm finally going to find all those things I've lost. Thank you, Bill Oakes, but that's not one of the questions. The questions I find that children especially ask, as we've dealt with funerals and death, but other people ask as well, where is Daddy, Mama? Where is my loved one now? Will I see them again? And what is heaven like? So let me share some answers, some reassurance of what I've come to know. Where is my loved one now? I tell them he or she is in heaven with Jesus today. I remind you that when Jesus was crucified, the robber who was crucified beside him asked Jesus, "Have pity on me." And Jesus said, what? "Today you'll be in paradise with me." Not tomorrow, not at the end of time. Today you'll be in paradise with me. He didn't say exactly what it will be like, but it will be paradise. That's where our loved ones are, in paradise. So I called my Uncle Jimmy 2 weeks ago. He lives up in Highlands, North Carolina. He's 98 years old. Aunt Vita's 99. And talking with him, he's shared his vision is bad. He can't read anymore, so he can't write me letters anymore. And his legs are weak, so he can't play golf anymore. He was playing 3 times a week, even a year ago. He can't help Aunt Vita like he used to, and so he's frustrated around the house. His mind is clear. His humor is delightful. He can still tell a story. He gave the whole rundown of all the great-grandchildren, what they were all doing. But he said, but Hugh, my body's tired and things hurt. Life is hard when you're 98 years old. And then he said, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm ready to be in paradise with Jesus. Our scripture reading today in Revelation 7 celebrates that paradise, that glory, which we will share with the multitude gathered around the throne. The saints of all the ages are gathered safely into heaven. They're around the throne with God and the Lamb of God. The final battle has been won. Evil has been overcome, and the devil has been defeated and cast away forever. And the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, has redeemed his people, brought them into the safekeeping of heaven forever, and they are celebrating around the throne. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief. Joy and security are what we're going to know in that heavenly light, in that holy city of God. And even though our loved ones are in heaven with Jesus, it's still normal to feel sad because they're not physically present with us anymore. It takes time for God to heal our hearts of their sadness. But eventually God will heal our sadness, and we'll remember our loved ones with happiness and joy, and we'll remember the goodness, and we'll forget the pain. So the second question people often ask is, will I see my loved one again? And I tell them yes. The Bible has not told me anything otherwise. I don't know if we'll see them like we see physically now, but we will recognize them. Our spirits will connect. We will see in wholeness and entirety. Because I believe that, because I believe when we humans die, we do not lose our individuality, our persona, our weakness, those things that we enjoy about each other, and our uniqueness as a child of God. I believe that God preserves our integrity, our identity of who he made us to be. And though we are glorified in a spiritual body, whatever that will be in heaven, our persona is preserved. Because Jesus didn't say when you get to heaven, you're just gonna be a drop in the ocean, or just a speck in the universe. He said, you're gonna be a child of God living in my house. So I believe we'll see and know and recognize one another again. Though we can't picture what it will be like, we profess our belief in the communion of saints of all the ages, the ongoing spiritual power and presence of those people in our lives even now, those who've gone before us and who now surround us like a cloud of witnesses, cheering us on till we also come home. So the inevitable third question, what is heaven like? It's going to be indescribably beautiful. I can't imagine how perfect it's going to be. But I have chatted with people who have had near-death experiences, from a little boy, Casey, who was 3 years old, to Arnie in his 80s. And these other people have told me about that near-death experience, and coming back, they said it was just being enveloped in light and power and peace, and it was energized, but it was tranquil. It was indescribable, and I really didn't want to come back. In the book of Revelation, God grants John a vision of that heavenly kingdom, and it's beyond anything our minds can imagine or construct. He said it's going to be like a throne, and there's light and glory and aura are surrounding the people. There's a rainbow composed of every color and every precious jewel in the universe, and there's a translucent color emerging, surrounding the heavens and reflecting the glory of God. On All Saints, we celebrate all that. It presents an image in the Bible of what heaven is like, but it's beyond our measure. It's beyond our imagination. A multitude of billions of people surrounded by angels glorifying God in song and in joy and in thankfulness. No more pain, no more injury, no more disease. We're going to be made whole and complete as God created us to be. No more grief, no more pain, no more world of darkness or evil, no more cancer, no more heart attacks, no more strokes, no more starvation, no more war, no more violence, no more bombings or accidents or crashes, and no more night, no more darkness to fear, just peace and light and harmony as it was created to be. And we're going to get to join our loved ones there. And Revelation says when we get home, God's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Max Lucado writes, the same hands that stretch the heavens are going to touch your cheeks. The same hands that form the mountains are going to caress your face. And the same hands that curled in agony on the Roman cross so the nails cut through will someday cup your face and brush away your tears forever. When you think of a world where there's no reason to cry ever, doesn't it make you want to go home, he asks? The way home is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I think for us, some of the finest moments in ministry are baptizing a baby, holding that arm, the child in my arms, and bringing him or her out into your midst. And of joy at weddings, celebrating two hearts committing their life together. And funerals, celebrating the life and joys of these people, and we thank God for what made them so special to us. For baptisms allow us to share a special moment with this family, and their precious moment with God and their child, as the water and the Spirit show that God claims this child, this infant, this adult, even now. And a wedding allows us to share the joy of families as they watch their loved ones uniting for life. And funerals allow us to share in a family's precious moments as God reveals to us the life and the legacy of that beloved person. And we have yet another glimpse of what heaven awaits for us and him or her. We glimpse the heavenly reunion. So if the joy at baptism is carrying that baby in my arms and out among you to show this child to you, and if a joy at wedding is seeing a groom kiss his bride before they join hands and walk down the aisle, then the agony of funerals is knowing that we can't hold that person in our arms anymore. And it's never easy to say goodbye. It's never easy to walk away wanting to kiss your loved one more time. The hardest thing in the world is to say goodbye. But one day we're going to go home and see them again in heaven. And never again will we say goodbye. We're just going to be saying, hey, welcome home. The saints of all the ages celebrating an eternal homecoming, and the joy lasts forever. Wow. I've used this illustration from Max Lucado countless times at funerals, but it's so fitting to read again today. I paraphrase him when he says, before you know it, your time will come, and you'll draw near the gates, and you'll enter the city, and you'll see faces that are awaiting you. You'll hear your name spoken by those who have longed to foresee you, who love you, and you'll feel their arms around you again, and your arms will hold them, and you will hug and laugh and greet one another with a kiss, a holy kiss, a kiss of peace and joy, a kiss of bountiful joy. And amidst the crowd, amidst that joyous throngs of relatives and friends, the one who has longed to see you, who would rather die than live without you, will remove his pierced hands from his robe and applaud you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Enter into the joy of my home." Amen and amen. God, it's all that easy, but all that hard. But help us to have the faith and to celebrate the communion of saints of all the ages in Christ our Lord. Amen.